Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This is what we're going to do for the next 10 minutes. Colin Cowherd and John Middlecoff. I actually listen to both of their podcasts independently. Sometimes they do them together. But they had a bold prediction NFL segment on their show. And you know what? I want to go through it. Now, I want to play this first one because I know this one will upset some of you because this happens just about year after year after year. Despite the Chiefs winning the AFC West for I don't know how long, there's always somebody that picks another team. You guys used to make fun of me and say that was me. I haven't done that in quite some time. I have completely disavowed Justin Herbert. I don't want him around me. Please keep Justin Herbert away from me. He has fooled me too many times before and had me looking goofy. I will never, ever defend him again. Colin Cowherd is on the other side. He's picking the Chargers to win the AFC West.
I think Kansas City is a wild card team, and Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers, now they have their running back situation and offensive tackle set, upgraded receiver. Last year, the only thing they were missing was juice offensively. Their defense finished almost near the top of the league. It went from last to near first in 1 year. They built the culture last year, but free agency and a draft, and you know, Harbaugh's good at the draft. I think they're going to be one of the better teams in the league. I think they're an 11-12 win team, and the Chiefs come into the season, which would concern me, with offensive line issues. So I like the Chargers to win the division.
I mean this in all seriousness. I don't really know many places on the field that the Chargers are better than the Chiefs. I mean, we can go down the line. I mean, they're not better than them at quarterback. You would give the Chargers the advantage at running back. I liked Omarion Hampton in the first round out of North Carolina. You got Najee Harris, who I think is a little bit overvalued, but if that's your 1B running back, so yes, they have the running back advantage. Are their wide receivers better than Kansas City's? Ladd McConkey, Quentin Johnston, Mike Williams? Is that better than what the Chiefs have in Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy, Hollywood Brown? I mean, I don't think it's better, actually. So you're not even better than Kansas City, I think, at wide receiver. Tight end, I think you would give Kansas City the advantage. If you want to go offensive line, sure. They certainly have more certainty on their offensive line. They got Rashawn Slater at left tackle. They got Joe Alt at right tackle. So they spent first round picks on the tackle position. You would give the Chiefs the advantage on the interior. I think you would probably give the Chargers a slight advantage when it comes to offensive line, but they have their questions as well. I don't know if you would pick the Chargers defense over the Chiefs defense. You certainly wouldn't pick the defensive coordinator the Chargers have over the Chiefs defense. I struggle to see where the Chargers just have the advantages over Kansas City. Now, maybe an injury happens. We can't predict that in the middle of June, but maybe an injury happens. I don't really know how you can pick the Chargers over Kansas City in June. Not based on what we've seen these last handful of years, not based on this Chargers roster. I mean, it's good. It's not overwhelming. What are the Chargers elite at? Because take the Eagles, for example, extreme example, the best team in the league. And the Eagles were good at a lot of things. The Eagles had the best running back in the National Football League. They had the best offensive line last year in the National Football League. They might have had the best defensive line last year in the league. But there are a lot of things that you would say the Eagles are very, very good at. What are the Chargers really good at other than they have a good quarterback, which obviously is a plus? So do the Chiefs have a really good quarterback. What are the Chargers really good at?
I don't know. I mean, again, running back room is the one place you'd be like, oh, the running back room is better. Maybe offensive line. And that's a maybe. You would probably take Alt and Slater over any combination of what the Chiefs have. But I mean, that's enough to be better than the Chiefs. I don't know the Chargers are the second best team in the division. Like, I don't know where the – I think the Charger hype is just the regular Charger hype we see every year, and it makes less sense to me this year than any year previous.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised, honestly, if the Chargers came in last place in the division. Like, I'm maybe a little bit higher on the Raiders than most people are. I think the Raiders have a real coach and a real quarterback now, and I like some of the moves they made in the offseason. Like, this division could just surprise some people. So I'm not picking the Chargers to win the division. Not my pick. I just want the player for you. That was one of his bold predictions. Let's get to some of the other bold predictions. Colin Cowherd has the Steelers finishing with a losing record.
Mike Tomlin and the Steelers, after 18 years without a losing record, will have one. First of all, I think Baltimore, now they've upgraded their secondary, may have the second best roster to Philadelphia in the sport. I think Joe Burrow may be the best quarterback on any Sunday in the sport. Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback, well, he was 5-12 last year. He didn't do well with a defensive culture in New York. There's less dysfunction in Pittsburgh, but not necessarily on the offensive side. They lost their leading rusher, their left tackle, their leading receiver. I like DK Metcalf, but he can be moody too. I just think the reality is they spend too much money on defense, not enough on offense. The TJ Watt contract extension will be hovering over their head. I don't think they're going to be a 6-win team, but I think 8 is probably the number. Mike Tomlin finally losing record.
I don't hate that prediction. Just everything tells you to side with the Steelers will be a little bit better than you think. They do this every single year. I don't know how they do it. Sometimes I don't know who they're doing it with, but Pittsburgh is usually just a little bit better than you expect them to be. I actually kind of like their offense. Jaylen Warren now takes over as their number one running back. They've got a decent wide receiver room. You go out and get DK Metcalf. You got Robert Woods. You got Calvin Austin. You got a couple of other picks. You got Pat Freiermuth as a tight end. He's probably somewhere in that 8-12 range. He's a capable tight end. Not really a game changer, but certainly solid. He's going to have 600, 700 yards this year. We already know defensively they're going to be one of the better defensive teams in the league. I mean, this Pittsburgh team, I think they have a pretty clear ceiling of what they can be. I'd be surprised if they won 12 games. I'd also be surprised if they win fewer than 7 games. They do kind of feel like they can go anywhere kind of in that range. This Steelers team feels like what they always are. They'll be a team that can win 9, possibly 10 games. They'll be in it toward the end of the year. We'll debate on whether or not we think they're actually really good and they can do something in the postseason. And then they'll play Kansas City. They'll play Buffalo on the road in game one of the playoffs. And they'll lose and that'll be the end of it. This feels like a normal Pittsburgh Steelers league year that is loading in the queue.
I don't want to nitpick someone else's segment. I get what Cowherd and Middlecoff are doing. Is saying a team who barely made the playoffs turning from 9-8 to 8-9 bold? Like, he's doing a bold take segment. That's the whole point. Bold. And we'll play John Middlecoff's here in a minute. That one was bold. I heard earlier today. We can disagree on Chargers over Chiefs. And we do disagree on Chargers over Chiefs, me and Cowherd. At least it's bold. Hey, the 9-8 team that backed into the playoffs last year and now has a 40-year-old quarterback in one of the toughest divisions in football, they're going to now be 8-9. Doesn't feel like bold to me. It doesn't feel like an exciting. It feels like regular regression. I know it's because they're a name brand, but it didn't feel to check the box of bold take to me. It feels like the most likely outcome, if we're being honest.
I'll play one more bold prediction for you guys. Here's John Middlecoff. He was on Colin Cowherd's show earlier today. You are right. I would consider this to be a bold prediction.
You're going to think I'm nuts. Daniel Jones leads the Colts to the playoffs. This race is over. He's going to be the starting quarterback. You would have said 2 years ago, Baker Mayfield leads Tampa to the playoffs. No chance. Last year, Sam Darnold leads the Minnesota Vikings to 14 wins. No chance. What does he get in Indy? An offensive coach who created the start of Jalen Hurts' career.
Yes.
A great running game. A lot like a couple years ago when he had a healthy Saquon Barkley. Jonathan Taylor almost had 1,500 yards last year. The division stinks. The Jags haven't been good ever. Obviously, the Houston Texans, a lot of moving parts, a lot of question marks with the offense, and the Titans, no depth. So when you just look at the division, you look at recent high picks who've resurrected their career, the Colts have pretty good players. And just a couple years ago, Lou Amarino, their new defensive coordinator, one of the best defensive coordinators in the league. Did he just get dumb overnight? No, the Bengals let all their players go. So I think the Colts, Daniel Jones, a little like Alex Smith when Jim Harbaugh got to the Niners, they're not going to ask him to do some. They're not looking for 40 touchdowns here. Throw me 20.
That was John Middlecoff on the Colin Cowherd show giving his bold prediction. I would say my two bold predictions, as we're really early on in this thing, I think Tennessee is going to be way better than people think. I think Cam Ward just has it. I saw him do it last year in Miami. I saw him do it 2 years ago at Washington State. He just has it. They are instantly better by just having Cam Ward around. I think Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears are good running backs. You look at that wide receiver room, Calvin Ridley, Tyler Lockett. If you can get another running back option, I think they've invested very fine in their offensive line. I think their defense is going to be a little bit better than people think. I agree with the sentiment about the division. If there's a division that has possible shakeup, it's probably coming from that AFC South. If you had to ask me what's my surprise pick, I would say it's Tennessee. Like, I'm looking at their early season schedule. These are their first six games. Denver, the Rams, Indy, Houston, Arizona, Vegas. That's a schedule that you can go 3-3, maybe a 4-2, and you look up, and the Titans are kind of in that wild card mix to be either the sixth or seventh team. I'm selling Commander stock for this year. The Commanders just scream regression. I mean, the light is flashing right in front of us, and no one wants to see it. A quarterback who played nearly perfect in year one, a schedule that ended up being tailor-made for you to make the postseason. They won a game on a Hail Mary last year. They went way further in the postseason than anybody thinks. They then go get old, bad contract players, and that's supposed to be the move that gets you over the hump? No. Washington is missing the postseason. Washington's winning eight games this year, missing the postseason, and everyone will look back and say, man, how do we not see this? I don't know how you didn't see it. The information was staring right in front of us this whole time. So if you want my hot takes, my bold prediction, I think Tennessee is going to be much better than people think and can compete for a wild card spot. And I'm fading the Commanders hard this year.
I mean, the way you feel about the Titans is how I feel about the Patriots. I think the Patriots are a playoff team next year. Like, the Patriots have a real coach. They have actual weapons. Now, their weapons might be on a boat with Cardi B, but when they're on the field, they're productive. I like Drake May. I like their defense. Like, the way you're talking about the Titans competing for a wild card, I have the Patriots competing for a wild card. So, I mean, we're kind of on the same page there. Young quarterback takes the step forward, and you're talking about selling stock. I don't know anyone has Dolphin stock left. Sell all of it. That thing is going to, we're going to talk about the Dolphins this year on the show because it's going to be a dumpster fire. Tua is not that guy. Tyreek Hill has been doing a lot of weirdo talking this offseason. Not about, you know, football, but just weird stuff. And I think Mike McDaniel's lost the locker room. So if you want my two, I don't know, counting the Dolphins as a dumpster fire is bold, but Dolphins to be just a disaster and in the Arch Manning conversation and the Patriots be a playoff team.
I would like to say that I certainly reserve all right to change my opinion on the Commanders just because of this.
Those haters can't stand us. Left hand up. Who are we? The Commanders. Commanders.
But I'm telling you right now, if I'm wrong about the Commanders, I will act like I was right the entire time about the Commanders and play that song. So I want you to go ahead and get used to it. Oh, man, you were being a hypocrite. I remember what you said in the offseason. What offseason? That wasn't me. I wasn't you talking about. I wasn't here. You know I've been riding with the Commanders from day one. So I want to let you know that I reserve the right to, I will not be wrong about the Commanders. That's what I'm telling you. I will not be wrong about the Commanders. I think they are going to regress and miss the postseason. But if they make the postseason, I'm going to play the song and I'm going to be right anyway because that's the way that this works. Coming up on the other side, we'll get back to talking about the stadium. We are less than a week away from the Star Bonds expiring in Kansas. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Your home for the best food takes in KC.
Regular old American nachos. You know, I don't need jalapenos with mine. Just chips, cheese.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 96.5 The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
All right, welcome back into The Drive. Coming up at the top of the hour, we are going to be joined by Josh Vernier. We're going to get you ready for the Royals as they are coming back home. They have the Tampa Bay Rays coming up later today. They have a three-game set against the Rays. They have a three-game series this weekend against the Dodgers. We believe that Shohei is going to pitch on Saturday. If you kind of look at the way that the pitching probables are lining up, then Shohei would pitch on Saturday against the Kansas City Royals. I know this. If Shohei is pitching, I will be there. I just want to see it for myself. I've seen him play. I've seen him hit a home run at Kauffman Stadium. I've never seen the man pitch. And I know that he's not going to go with, you know, five, six, seven innings. But just to say that you've seen Shohei pitch, I will be there to see him pitch if he is pitching in Kauffman Stadium. Also, the way that the probables line up, the Royals might also get Paul Skeens at home coming up in a couple of weeks. That is another game, Rob. I think you and I are the same. I'll be at that one. I'll be there. I mean, I want to see the Royals do well. I want to see the Royals hit, but going up against Skeens, I'm fully expecting a 2-1 game. I mean, they do that anyway. I might as well see maybe the best pitcher in Major League Baseball have a 2-1 game against the Royals.
I mean, fingers crossed. If we get Skeens on Dollar Dog Night, I mean, come on now.
Oh, my goodness.
let the stars align, please.
You guys were excited about Jack Caglione Day. If they're going to have Paul Skeens and Dollar Dog Day, that place should have 42,000 people out there. It should be a playoff atmosphere for a Royals-Pirates game in early July. You know it's going to be cool outside. You can't ask for better weather. And you get Dollar Dogs, and you get a Paul Skeens. Oh, man, sign me up. So I want to play this audio for you guys, and let's get back to the stadium. Vern's going to be on the show coming up in just a little bit. Actually, you know what? I'm going to call a little bit of an audible. I'm going to call an audible because I forgot that this was in our system, but I just like hearing it anyway.
Broncos fans, thank you guys so much for coming out. I'm excited to play in Power Field. It's going to be amazing. You know what to do. And go Broncos. You know, and Broncos country, let's ride.
Let's go. Let's ride, baby. Ooh.
Oh, I miss those days. I really do. I like when I kind of reshuffle the audio file, Rob, and then I see something that I forgot. Oh, man, I forgot that we had this.
Name something that follows the word pork.
You pine.
Huh?
Yo, you got to leave my family if that's the answer that you give. I'm serious. You have to immediately leave our family. You embarrassed us in front of Granny and in front of Steve Harvey. No, you got to leave our family. I can't have you around. You're a liability. You're a dummy is what you are. If that's the answer you give on Family Feud, you're a dummy. And you're not allowed to any Thanksgiving, Halloween, Christmas, Arbor Day. You can't come to any family function that we have for a year. You have been suspended if you go on Family Feud in front of all them people and that's the answer that you give. All right, let's get to the stadiums. Here is Bob Fesco. Now, I love Bob. I don't want Bob to take this the wrong way. He sounds like a changer to me. Is that not what it sounds like to you, Rob? Because we could go back and find some audio from last week. Fesco damn near had them breaking ground for the Chiefs. We could pull it up. He damn near had the Royals over there right next to Bamboo Penny. I was listening to the show today. That's not the vibe that I got from Bob Fesco.
The Chiefs are probably going to end up just renovating Arrowhead and staying.
Slapping a dome on that bad boy?
I don't think so. I don't know. Somebody talked about putting that, you know, the LA has, you know, one of those things. Like, that's kind of a cool idea, kind of an open, but I don't know what they're going to do renovation-wise, but I think ultimately that's where the Chiefs are going to end up. I think they're going to renovate. I think they're going to build maybe their complex up north of the river because they can't build their complex in Kansas if they take the state money in Missouri and renovate. And that's something I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday. He goes, why don't they just tear down Kauffman and build new Arrowhead? I'm like, that's not part of the plan. It's either renovate Arrowhead or build new in Kansas. Those are the two options. I think the Chiefs are leaning towards, you know, renovating. That was kind of the feeling I got from talking to a lot of different people yesterday.
I'm not denying that Fesco was talking to these people. I 100%, I 1,000% believe this. You want to know how I know Kansas is shook? Fesco's tone is changing about it. There has not been a person who has been more pro the Royals and Chiefs are moving to Kansas in Kansas City media than Fesco. He came on here today and said, I don't know, man. That's not what I'm hearing anymore. I'm telling you, Rob, they're shook. I mean, it wasn't that long ago. Listen to this. This was in February. In fact, this was exactly 4 months ago. You just pulled it up. This is from February 24th. It's June 24th. I can add, this is what Fesco said 4 months ago. Tell me you don't hear a change in his tone about this when it comes to how things are turning for your side of state line, Rob.
What also is going to happen is the star bonds, which is quote unquote free money for these teams. There's a June 30th deadline, right? I think it is, or sometime in July. Like, the deadline is coming up. When they approve the star bonds, they lasted for a year. So you have to act now if you want to get that free money, which I think both teams do. I think both teams are leaning towards the state of Kansas right now. I've heard from both parties involved, people from both organizations that know what's going on, have both said that Kansas has been a great partner to work with. Missouri's talking about trying to get something on the November ballot, okay? By the time November rolls around, ground most likely will be broken in the state of Kansas on these stadiums, as opposed to what's going on in the state of Missouri.
He said the ground was going to be breaking. Fesco had the Chiefs playing right next to the Monarchs. I'm telling you, Rob, the tone has changed. It has shifted very, very quickly. I did feel, and I was saying this back when it was happening, it felt like a lot of Kansas popping wheelies when this thing was early on in the game. Now, maybe the Chiefs end up over there. I don't know. But Missouri was, they were certainly behind. They didn't have a financial package together. They didn't have all their ducks in a row. And then eventually, it was like, all right, man, hey, we got to get this done. We got to turn in this project. We've all been in that situation. You've been messing around and messing around. The teacher finally tells you, hey, I will fail you if you don't turn something in. All right, I got to do my homework now. No, I can't come outside and play. I can't get on the game. I got to finish this homework. I'll play with you tomorrow. They got that special session passed. They got it done. And a lot of the tone, a lot of the mood around this thing has shifted. They didn't need to go to a vote in November. Now, the Chiefs might. I mean, if the Chiefs stay, there is going to be a vote in November. There's going to be a vote. I don't even think there's a way around it. And I've told you this. A big reason of why I voted yes the first time this was here is I don't think we ever get away from that tax. Not if you want the teams to stay on this side. I just think the tax is now going to shift. I think the Royals are going to be off of the sales tax money, and I think the Chiefs are going to keep all of the sales tax money. Hey, you guys want us to stay? This is the cost. We're willing to stay. We're going to take some of the money from the state. We're going to take some of the money from this place. We're also going to take some of the money from you. You want us to stay, so you got to pay. They got a sales tax initiative. We got one too. It is whenever you buy something in Jackson County, all of that money now comes to us. That's what I think is going to happen. So that's a big reason why I voted yes. I don't think ultimately it matters. I think I'm always going to pay that tax as long as the Chiefs and the Royals are on this side of the state line. So I was like, might as well just vote yes for it. But it does seem, I mean, for Fesco to come out and say that it sounds like the Chiefs are likely to stay on this state line, that is coming from the Kansas side. Almost every report that Fesco has given for the last 6 months has been pro-Kansas. Almost every single one. Hasn't been one like, hey, things are actually going well in Missouri. No, it's been Missouri are idiots, and Kansas has this thing in the bag. So for him to be coming out on the other side tells me that behind the scenes and behind the people that know in Kansas, they are also very, very worried about the fact that, hey, Missouri kind of has their ducks in a row, and they can match us on a lot of these things, and the Chiefs are considering, strongly considering staying over there, which wasn't really a thing if they didn't have the money together. Now they have it together.
I mean, we talked about earlier in the show. It does seem like, and maybe for the first time since the vote, maybe before the vote, even during the vote, it felt like for the first time, the momentum is in the favor of Missouri. There was a time there, and you're right, I was probably part of the popping wheelies, but there was a time there where it felt like, hey, the Kansas side was up 28-3 in the Super Bowl. It felt like, oh, they're about to boat race Missouri. It felt like a celebration was abound. And for the first time, and it happened at the special session, because even the most diehard of Missourians would tell you before the special session, when that thing died in committee, they were also, oh, here we go again. Then the committee happened. Special session gets that deal done by the skin of their teeth. And now it feels like, all right, the momentum is finally pushing back toward Missouri. It took a lot to get the momentum turned around, but it does feel like Missouri has all the momentum to keep both teams. I still wouldn't be shocked if it's 1-1, though.
I actually don't think it took a lot of momentum. You know what I think it took? I think it took a concrete deadline. I think it took the, we're getting closer and closer to the June 30th. We need to get something done. We all know how this works. We say this all the time when it comes to contract negotiations and other things. We don't think that's the case in this billion-dollar instance. How often do we see this in the NFL? Hey, you guys got to sign a long-term deal by X date. We don't hear any movement in it. And then with a week to go, we start to hear all the movement and all the rumblings, and then things eventually get done. The deadline in Kansas was rapidly approaching. Hey, if we actually want to keep the teams, we need to do something now to do it. Not later. We need to do it now. All that posturing that you guys were doing and politicking that you were doing, it has to stop. Come back. Let's get this signed. Let's move on to the next thing. I mean, it's not like they even, like, once they went to the special session, it wasn't really that much of a challenge. It passed pretty clearly. Hey, a couple of days talking back and forth, a couple wheels and deals, a couple handshakes, and then things got done. And in that moment, at least the feeling to me is a lot of the public push, I think, on that side, we just haven't really heard a whole lot. I said this whenever we heard about the 119th. No, it just felt very, very, it felt very timely. The news just popped up out of nowhere. Hey, the Royals are having these secret conversations. No, we're not. Oh, yes, they actually were. We have this lease that was figured out. It just, all of it just felt very, very convenient is what it felt like. The other thing I want to play for you guys is Fesco. And you know what? Bob must listen to the show because I said this same thing yesterday and you guys argued me and told me I was wrong. The Legends makes no sense for the Royals.
The Royals have never mentioned Legends ever as a place where they're going to go. And that's where the laughter ensued for me yesterday. A couple of people, even Wyandotte County folks, you know, that I kind of spoke to yesterday are like, we heard they may be coming to Kansas. We've never heard they're coming to Wyandotte County. And I talked to somebody yesterday in the know, and they're like, the Royals are essentially in the Wyandotte County deal right now. It's the same place. They're not going to move from, you know, where they are at the sports complex to the exact same place across the way. They want to be where the population density is. There's no population density at the Legends out there. So I got a lot of laughter from people yesterday when they saw the Wyandotte County. Like, legitimate people calling me laughing, going, where's Wyandotte County coming from? Like, Sherman's never mentioned Wyandotte County. They're in that area right now. There's no point of moving to the same area.
Bob, my brother, this is what I said yesterday. It doesn't make any sense for the Royals to move to the Legends. It doesn't solve any of their problems. It doesn't solve any of their problems. None. It's the same problem, just on the other side of state line. The Royals' problem is people don't go to Royals games during the week. That's their problem. People are willing to drive out there on a Friday or a Saturday, but on a school night, oh my goodness, they will come up with every reason in the world to not go out there. Oh, I mean, you know, I got to work early. Don't you work at noon? Oh, I mean, they will come up with every reason in the world why not to go on a Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. When that weekend comes, people love going out to the park. A lot of people go out to the park on those days. That would be the exact same at the Legends. Once the newness wears off and you get to your regular Tuesday game in June against the Tigers, we will be back at the same attendance numbers that we have right now, asking the same questions that we've been asking since we were kids about the Royals and attendance in the same debates. It does not solve their problems. The Legends doesn't make sense for the Royals. It makes sense for the Chiefs. The Chiefs just bring their own crowd. They attract it. Doesn't matter what population base around the Chiefs. 80,000 people are going, no matter where you put it, in the Kansas City metropolitan area, they are going out there on Sunday. It's not the way the Royals work. It's not the way baseball works in this city. So, yeah, it matters where you put the Royals. So if you want to put them where people are, you put them downtown, you put them in North Kansas City, or you put them on 119th and all. But putting them out by the Legends, out by the soccer stadium, or out by Kansas Speedway, just, Rob, it doesn't make any sense to me, and I just don't think it really solves what I think the Royals' problem is on a game-by-game, week-by-week basis.
Honestly, there are only two – I agree with you. There are only two solutions to that problem, though. It's – I don't think Clay County fixes those problems. I think the two solutions to that problem are Washington Square Park, or to a lesser extent, 119th and Nall does help a little bit. Not to the same level Washington Square Park does, but it helps a little bit. So the Legends thing, it makes no sense to me. Clay County, I feel like, also makes no sense to me. I feel like Clay County, you talk about Kansas being a pawn. Do you know who I feel like has been a pawn in this whole game? Clay County. Because Clay County does not make sense to fix the walk-up problem at all. No, for sure.
Yeah, I agree.
It feels like 119th and Nall is like a drop in the bucket to fix the problem. And Washington Square Park does fix the problem. But the Legends would be, instead of me driving 20 minutes to go to a game, it'd now be someone from Lee Summit driving 25 minutes to go to the game. It'd be the same problem, just, what's the quote, change the caps from red to blue? That's what would be with the Legends for the Royals.
Yeah, no, that's definitely just what it feels like. Text line 913-586-7965. Let us know what you guys think. It appears, if you are believing the reports, it feels like the sentiment is changing a little bit. It sounds like the Chiefs could be staying where they are. It also sounds like you are hearing more and more people from the city kind of confirm that the Royals don't need a public vote if they want to build a downtown stadium. Here's the latest with Fox 4.
Councilman O'Neill believes the city can redirect a lot of taxes like the state is doing, plus the Port Authority, which he's the vice chair of, can issue bonds.
We believe that we can do that without any problems, to be honest.
Councilwoman Andrea Boo, who also chairs the Economic Development Corporation of Kansas City Board, says she believes the June 30th date of the Royals picking where they want to build was set by the state of Kansas. That's the current date the Starbond offer expires there, but state leaders can extend it.
It's not the city's decision that we have to have a proposal by June 30th. You know, we want to be prepared, and we think that we are prepared. We have the team in place that's necessary to respond when the Royals make a determination on where they're going to go.
Washington Square Park is owned by the city's Parks and Rec Department, so that board would need to approve something dealing with the stadium.
When do you guys envision them considering an agenda item regarding a Royal stadium?
Quickly. We need the parks to approve moving rights over to Port or EDC to negotiate this project, and that should happen fairly soon.
O'Neill says the Royals need to tell the city where they want to go, and when they do, they need entities like the EDC and the Port Authority to work together.
Rob, I have a complete a question that has nothing to do with what we've been talking about, but this just seems like something that affects all of us. You remember when we were a kid that we were told that breakfast was the most important meal of the day? You remember this when we were coming up? Like, you had to have a good breakfast. You had to get things going. Why, as adults, is that the meal that we skip the most? Why do you think that is?
That's an excellent question.
So maybe we were lied to this entire time.
I don't think
maybe it's not the most important, because you know what I think is the most important? Lunch. Lunch is really important now as an adult. You can miss or have like something light. Like, you can have like an apple or something, or like a cereal bar. But man, let it be 11:30, 12, 1 o'clock, and you haven't eaten lunch. Oh, those next 3-4 hours of the job are going to be miserable. Is it possible that lunch has actually become the most important meal of the day?
I don't think so. I think the reason that people say that about breakfast is because as an adult, when you're eating breakfast, it's more like a grab and go, and you're eating unhealthy. You're not really sitting down and be like, hey, I want a nice balanced breakfast. It's usually, I'm just going to grab some on the way out the door and I'm getting out of here. Or you're just going to skip it entirely, and then you get hungry and you overindulge at lunch. We've all had that experience. Like, man, I didn't eat breakfast this morning. It's 11:45 noon. I'm really hungry. As opposed to just getting, you know, a Chipotle burrito, which is already bad for you, I'm going to add some chips and queso too, or I'm going to add, you know, some chips and salsa because I'm so hungry. So I think what they're trying to cut down on by being pro-breakfast is that people overeat at lunch. So I think the first meal you eat is the key. It's just a matter of doing it healthy and in moderation.
No, that makes perfect sense. I just think about my own life. I just don't eat breakfast all that often. I mean, I eat breakfast sometimes. I maybe eat breakfast 2-3 times a week, but I eat lunch every single day. So I just was thinking, I was like, man, maybe lunch is actually the most important meal of the day. What do you usually eat for breakfast? Like, you seem like a, I'm just going to guess, you seem like an eggs white individual.
I'm not an egg white
You
individual.
Seem like an egg white and avocado toast kind of just get your day going, you know?
Okay, first off, I've had avocado toast to get the day going. I don't know why that caught a shot back there. It's a nice, healthy, fatty.
I wasn't hating on it. I mean, I was right. This is what it seems like you're into. It seems like that's what you start your day with. Some eggs whites, some avocado toast. You're scrolling on your phone trying to get caught up for the day. I don't think you drink coffee. You don't seem like a coffee individual.
I actually am a coffee. I'm one cup a day.
You've never had coffee around me. Ever. Not one time.
First off, the only time, remember we had to host a Fesco show, and boy, did they hate us first off. That was a wild, 6-10 day.
That was the least amount of fun I've ever had doing radio, actually, when we did Fesco that shows at one time.
3.5 hours of everyone being like, you guys, I couldn't get out of here fast enough at 10:01. That was when I'm a coffee in the morning person, so we don't really interact before 10:30, 11, when I've already gotten up and started my day and had my coffee. That day, you would have seen me with a coffee in hand, but you were probably distracted by the pure hate we were receiving from the text line.
Yeah, no, it wasn't fun. A lot of people on the text line are saying breakfast is for suckers. I work outside, so I eat a big breakfast, and I don't eat lunch because of the heat. I was curious. I was just thinking that. You know, as kids, we were told so many times that breakfast was the most important meal of the day, and then as adults, we just very rarely eat breakfast. Very rarely, it just that idea hit me, so I wanted to share it with you guys. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll ask Vern if he eats breakfast. We'll also ask Vern about the Royals as they are back in town, taking on the Rays and the Dodgers. Coming up on the other side, I got a question to ask you about the Rays. We'll get to it next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Watch the show on YouTube by subscribing to the 965 YouTube channel. The Drive brought to you by DM Entry Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Entry Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 965, The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The NFL season is fast approaching. With kickoff under 100 days away.
Harrison Butker set to kick it off. The run-up. Butker's kick and Super Bowl 58 is underway in a high, deep spinning kick.
The Drive gives you an NFL thought every day from now until the start of the season. It's the countdown to kickoff.
The Browns currently have the most interesting quarterback situation in the National Football League. I'm not saying it's interesting because it's good. It's just, I don't know, interesting. So they have four possible options. Kenny Pickett, Joe Flacco, Dylan Gabriel, and Shedeur Sanders. They traded for Kenny Pickett. Joe Flacco, he's just old. And they drafted two rookies this year. So Deontay Johnson, who I'm actually surprised is still in the league. This is his, fifth team in the last year? I mean, he has been bounced around. He's played for more teams than Khloe Kardashian has in her NBA career. So Deontay, he went on a podcast and he gave his opinion on who he thinks the starter is going to be. Quote, I think we're going to roll with Kenny Pickett for now. I feel, quote, I've been seeing Kenny going hard with the ones and then Joe Flacco comes in. I think they're probably going to roll with him just to see what it's like. I think they're going to stick with them through the preseason. This was Deontay Johnson's, what he had to say. That's the wrong decision for Cleveland. If you're going with Kenny Pickett, then you've just already made the decision that you're going to start Shedeur Sanders in week 6. There's no chance that the Kenny Pickett experiment for the Cleveland Browns goes well, is there? None. There's no chance that goes well. They start off the year 1-5. They start off the year 2-4. They're 27th in offense, and they need a spark, and they go to one of the young guys. This is what the Browns should do. Start Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco actually gives you the highest ceiling of anybody that you possibly have. He gives you the highest ceiling. And then, I mean, they'll be bad with Joe Flacco. Don't get me wrong. They'll be bad, but it'll be fun. It'll be entertaining. And they'll get to like week 11 and they'll realize they're out of it. And then they'll just start one of the young guys. But We always say in the NFL, well, I mean, teams don't tank. It's not like other sports. Bro, if that's your quarterback room, you're tanking for this season. You just haven't told us yet. But you got to know, you ain't got no chance of competing with that quarterback room. Kenny Pickett's a waste of everybody's time. That would be the least fun option. And what I want the Browns to do is to stress fun. That's all I want them to do. For this season, if we're not going to win, then let's just be fun. I want them to view their team like the 2007 Royals. Hey, we're not going to win, but let's just develop the young guys. You remember that? Oh, man, those are great times. Whenever we started to make that shift in our brain, when it started to be about the young guys, that was really us telling ourselves, hey, they stink. They're not good. But you know what? Let's try to salvage something out of this year by them playing the young guys. That's what the Browns need to do at quarterback. That is our NFL thought for the week. All right, I got two things, Rob, that I want to get to before Vern joins us on the show. Have you been seeing the trend that New York Times writers are doing? So they are making a top 100 list for the best movies of the last 25 years, and they are having every writer submit their handful of them. All right, so this is how I'm going to do it. I'm going to give you the five movies that I think have been essential in the last 25 years. There are obviously more movies than this, but I think this is a really good start. I get five, you get five, everybody gets five, and we put that together and we get to our 100 list. These are the five that I wrote down, Rob. The Departed, Dark Knight, Get Out, Avengers Endgame, and Social Network. Those would be the five that I would suggest for the last 25 years. Get Out, and it has spawned basically a movie franchise in just a person, in Jordan Peele. Avengers Endgame was the end of a, what, decade-long saga of all these superhero movies? The Departed, the best crime movie, I think, over the last 25 years. I actually think The Social Network is the best movie that we've had in the last. That's just a phenomenal movie. And The Dark Knight, which is the best superhero movie, in my opinion, during the superhero era. Those would be the five I would suggest for the top 100 movies.
So I don't think that's a bad list, but for you, you personally, I am stunned, just stunned, that one comedy didn't make the list. You speak glowingly about this comedy all the time. I'm talking about Jonah Hill, Michael Cera. This is, that movie is for you, and you left it off your list for Avengers Endgame? This was supposed to be your list, not me. You said that was the
I mean, Avengers Endgame is the biggest movie of the last 25 years. I mean, it is. It's the biggest movie. It is the most anticipated movie of our lifetime. I can't speak to how people felt about the early Star Wars movies, but Rob, you obviously know you were there. Avengers Endgame, well, it's the biggest movie release. I think it has to be on your list if you're going to suggest five movies.
I'm just stunned that Superbad went on your list.
Like, I don't love Superbad like that. That's not my movie.
You talk about Superbad like it's our era's Clueless.
No, I don't. I don't love Superbad like that.
You talk about Superbad a lot.
You got Superbad confused with Mean Girls. I don't love Superbad like that. You know, my movie is Wedding Crashers.
Oh, yeah, that's also, yeah.
Wedding Crashers and 40-Year-Old Virgin. Those are my comedies from the last.
I think Superbad's better than those movies, but that's,
yeah,
just,
I don't think that, actually.
I'm just surprised that you didn't have any of those comedies on your list.
What's your five?
I do think it's Dark Knight. I'm just really.
You have to give five different ones.
I'm trying to fight the urge to just put Nolan and Scorsese movies. Wolf of Wall Street probably is on the list.
I do enjoy that movie. That's a really good movie.
It sucks I can't do Social Network because Social Network
I think Social Network is incredible.
Social Network just
is a really, really good movie.
Film.
It honestly, I mean, like, part of, I think, what makes it such a good movie is, like, it is our generation's story. Like, we saw Facebook from the very, very beginning. So to then see the story and all the, I love Social Network. That's probably the movie I've seen the most from this time.
I'm trying to think. I mean, I think Inception's probably on the list. Either Inception or Oppenheimer are on the list.
You love Inception way more than I do.
I love Inception. Inception's incredible.
I've only seen Inception the one time in the theater, and I just thought it was fine.
I think if we're talking impact, maybe this is recency bias.
All right, here, so hold on. So you're throwing your five in there. Inception, Wolf of Wall Street.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Maybe this is recency bias. I think Barbie. I think the Barbie movie
is
probably
on the list. Okay, we can throw Barbie on
there. Barbie's on the list.
Okay, you have two more. Inception, Wolf of Wall Street, Barbie.
I really want to put Top Gun Maverick. Top Gun Maverick was
Top Gun Maverick is an incredible
Top
movie.
Gun Maverick was really, really good. Yeah, I'm going to go Top Gun Maverick, and then I'm going to go Superbad. Those are the five.
Okay. Superbad. Someone on the text line says, C-Dot, bro, no one cares about Facebook. You can win elections off Facebook. Facebook, like, might honestly be the most powerful tool that we have, if used correctly.
No one knows who Mark Zuckerberg is 20 years ago. Now he's
top
five.
It's wild. I've just seen the power of the...
The text line's crazy. I don't think the text line understands the assignment. It's the last 25 years.
So it's like Forrest Gump. Never mind. You know, let's move on.
How dare you not have Gladiator?
Let's move on.
Okay. You're right.
Let's move on. I'm serious. Let's move on. Someone said, do you think Sinners will be on this list? I do think it should be on the list. If you're making a top 100 list of the last 25 years, I do think the Sinners has to be on the list.
Yeah, not top five, but it's on the list.
No, not top five. No.
I mean, it's a sad, like, I haven't seen Sinners yet. I only have seen people speak glowingly of it, but I have not seen Sinners yet. Have you seen it yet?
I have not.
I know it's coming to HBO Max like next week.
Yeah, I'll watch it then.
That's when it's coming home.
Honestly, it just was the NBA playoffs. It took up so much of my time. Stupid Tyrese Halliburton just to get hurt at the end. What a terrible final episode of that show.
And it came out around Mission Impossible time, and I was going to pick Mission Impossible.
Did you like that movie?
No.
Okay, I didn't know. He saw it the one time and then never mentioned it to me. I never heard you say anything about it.
He fought AI for 2.5 hours, and then we all...
That doesn't sound like a movie. Sounds like Tom Cruise's life.
And then we all went our separate ways.
That's what it sounded like. Coming up at the top of the hour, we are going to be joined by Josh Verner. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.